Please turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 11. We started the book of Proverbs last week, where the emphasis was, if sinners entice you, do not consent. And what an awesome, just that. If sinners entice you, don't consent. And there's a lot of us sinners in trying to entice us. And it used to be, again, as I've emphasized, it used to be they had to do it face to face. A sinner had to walk up to you and do it. Now they can do it in so many different ways. Just through the technology that we have today, we have to be very, very diligent to not let that enticing temptation to cause us to do things that God tells us not to in His Word. So reading 11 through 19 real quickly that we concluded with last week before we get into verse 20, it says, if they say, come with us, let us lie in wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse. And, you know, emphasized last week, that's what the criminals think. They get deceived by Satan to think all we can do is just rip people off and we're going to get rich. Not realizing, and I shared this in the jail last Thursday, I taught this section of scripture, you know, all you guys realize that, you know, for all of you that are guilty, you were all doing the same thing. You were doing this. You were thinking we're going to be able to do drugs, rip people off, do all these things, and now look at where you're at. And this is what the wisdom of God says, is you destroy your life instead. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. You know, bird is smarter than us because the bird knows not to destroy their life by jumping into a net that's set before them. But they, the non-believing pursuers of evil, lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners, and we all know people that have pursued through crime to do things, to get money, to get high, to get a buzz, to do whatever, and the Bible tells us that they're greedy for gain, and it takes away the life of its owners. How incredible that people get deceived into destroying their lives. And it's the wisdom of God that can set any of us free from that lifestyle of deception from the devil and from our flesh. So verse 20, wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares. What does wisdom raise its voice to do? To have wisdom. Where people congregate, you know, it's saying here, where people congregate. So wisdom is crying out to our will where people congregate. Have wisdom. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city where she speaks her words. And where, in those days, what was happening at the gate, that's where the legal stuff was happening. The elders of the city would be gathered there. So wisdom is crying out to the legal establishment to obey and to keep the law of God. It would be like our judicial system. Wisdom, the wisdom of God's word is screaming at us to establish the rule of law. And at a time where all the way up to the President of the United States saying, we've lost the rule of law. And where else should wisdom be screened from? A chief place. He's just saying the chief concourse. What's another chief concourse? During our prayer time was bringing up Evergreen College. And I just found out about this tonight. I guess there's been riots going on all week because somebody's conservative and all the liberal, godless mindset is wanting to shout it down from what I understand. Is that? And, huh? And he's just saying something that the kids don't want to hear, right?
It's just the color of his skin.
So all of a sudden, a bunch of students in Evergreen College, which is known for being leftist for decades, they all of a sudden, it's like, I hate my Jewish professor, and I'm going to riot on the campus. And somebody else was telling me about it earlier before the study. What's going on there? I had heard nothing about it. Didn't come up on any of the news I was looking at. And I said, and as John was alluding to, this is spiritual, what's happening. And it's like all of a sudden, I hate the Jews, like what happened in World War II. And then it's going to be, I hate Christians. I hate fundamentalist Christians. So this is, it makes no sense. Once again, it's coming. The winds of change are blowing because people are rejecting the wisdom of God. And it's going to affect us, and they're going to tunnel in because it's from Satan, because it's from the enemy of our souls and their souls. It's going to focus on people who have a biblical love for the biblical Jesus. That's where it's going to focus on. And we just have to be ready for it. It's not going to make any sense. So she cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words, wisdom, speaks, you know, be wise. And then verse 22, it says, how long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Isn't that just exactly what we're seeing? That wisdom, you know, listen to the wisdom of God, rule of law, fear the God who created the heavens and the earth, and the scorners say, forget you. And the Bible declares them simple ones. How long are you going to love simplicity and hate the knowledge of God? Well, I think 7+ years. You know, we're heading towards the days where the entire world is going to be plunged into the 7-year tribulation period, and however long before that starts is the answer to this question. And I don't think it's 7+ hundreds. I don't think it's 7+ decades. I think it's 7+ however long at this accelerating rate of decay that we're seeing across the world. And the whole world is, there's no oasis anymore. It used to be that, you know, the strength of the gospel would raise in a country while it was waning in another one. And now you say, where is the gospel, the true gospel of Jesus, rising while we're waning? Nowhere. I used to say Sudan. And Sudan's in turmoil. In fact, I got a better update on what's going on in Sudan today, talking to far-reaching ministries, and it's horrible. It's horrible what has happened because some of the government leaders are rejecting the wisdom of God's word. Because the gospel didn't get completely into the leadership to where corruption didn't breed the disintegration of the newest country in the world. So, how long for us? You know, the question, verse 22, is for us too. We don't want to be simple, right? We don't want to be simple. We want to be simple in our faith, but we want to repent of using our own wisdom and rejecting the wisdom of God even as Christians. We want to really double down on accepting the wisdom of God through His Word. Verse 23, which is what it says, turn at my rebuke. Wisdom is saying, turn, repent of your foolishness and your simplicity of going after the things of the world. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. And that's what all true believers do. Before we become a believer, we reject the law of God, being in authority over our lives. We might pick and choose certain things for our own social benefit, but we reject the master of those laws. But when we repent and we turn to God and to His Word and let His Word rule our heart, then it says He pours the Spirit upon us, which He does. Especially in the New Testament where we have it dwelling inside of us. Because, verse 24, because I have called and you refused. I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would have none of my rebuke, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. So God's saying, repent, you simple ones, repent, but if you don't, destruction's coming. And let's think about this in our country. You know, wisdom says, let's just do some of the things of society. Financial wisdom says, don't become indebted. Right? And I'll tell you what, when this cookie crumbles, it's going to be like misery all over the world. The entire world is buried in debt. And it's the only thing that's keeping things going is they're pumping in, the central banks across the world are pumping in money to keep this Humpty Dumpty up on the wall. But there's going to be a day where that won't work anymore. And when Humpty Dumpty falls, it's going to affect everybody on this world. And then you sit there and you look at people saying, we need fiscal responsibility. There's certain things we can't afford, so we have to cut back on this. What happens when people say we need to cut back on this and this and this? You can't just sit at home and get welfare anymore. You can't do this when you can work. We're going to make it so you have to go search for a job again. You know, Obama changed the rules so that you can get a check without searching for a job. We're going to make it so you have to search for God. What happens? People just scoff and scream and go nuts. And they're rejecting the wisdom of God, because what does the wisdom of God say? It said, you don't work, you don't eat. That's what the wisdom of God said. And I reject that. You owe me, and I don't care if I'm $20 trillion in debt by the budget and hundreds of trillions of dollars by derivatives and all these other things that people have made up with, you know, get-rich-quick schemes. And so they don't understand that thinking that continues in our culture and is, you know, in my opinion, it's not going to turn around by president or anybody that tries to fix it, because the people love to have it so. The people want this corruption. They want this financial foolishness. And so anybody that tries to change it, they're going to get rid of them. And so we can see the cliff. We can see what's going to happen and exactly what God says. Okay, you're going to be destroyed. And we're on this boat when it hits that cliff, which then goes on to say then, verse 28, when terror and calamity hits, then when the terror and calamity hits, they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. So people will be screaming when, and I could go on and on. You look at the educational system that no longer is training people to do functional work. It's training them into various different social experiments of how to, you know, you have to decide what kind of sexual identity you have. You've got to do all this other stuff that's in that. People are paying all this money and the government to make sure that they run through this godless mindset educational system. They say, hey, student loans, you can get $1 trillion worth of student loans and all this other stuff, because we want to make sure you get all brain dirtied into the educational system that we've corrupted over the years to be godless. And so the educational system's imploding. We have people that get graduated from college and they have no wisdom at all to do anything. And then when it all falls down, oh, why did this happen? And God's going to, oh, we need wisdom. And so the voice will be, well, I tried to give you wisdom. That God's, oh, we still, no matter how miserable we are, we don't want it to be God's wisdom that speaks. And then God's saying, okay, so because they hate knowledge, I'm going to say, oh, well, I would tell you how to rescue yourself from this in your calamity, but you've already made the decision. You hate knowledge, so phew, off you go. And you know what is the wisdom that the world's going to get when this whole cookie crumbles? Again, what is the wisdom they're going to get? The wisdom of the world ruler that rises up and says, I will fix your problems. And they'll say, yes, fix our problems, Antichrist. If we study history, it happened recently. Germany, you know, decided to foolishly do their World War I thing, taking over the world. And then when they suffered the calamity of that foolishness, then the people said, man, we're suffering. And so then arose a man who said, we will reestablish our supremacy as the German people. And all of a sudden, Heil Hitler, and off they go into a slaughtering massacre, and because they wanted to get out of their dilemma, and they didn't go to the Word of God. They went to a man who promised them a revival out of this dismal condition. And the same thing is going to happen on a global scale with what's coming, because this is Humpty Dumpty. It's a global thing. It's not a national thing. It really is going to be something. We're on the very cusp of entering into the foundation of what will become the kingdom of the Antichrist. Therefore, verse 31, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. And the book of Revelation talks about how when the world is suffering all these things, they're going to shake their fist at God and curse him who is causing these things to happen. They're going to be filled with their own foolishness, but they will still curse God, many of them. A lot of people come out of the tribulation saved because they're going to humble themselves, but the world is headed for a time, Jesus said, a time like the world has never known. And you, if you sit and think, you can see it coming. Verse 32, for the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. You know, the simple-minded who reject God's word will be destroyed in the time of peril. But whoever listens to me, wisdom, will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Now, again, I already said that we're on this boat that's going down. And again, only God knows when the plug gets pulled and we start circling the drain. I've been shocked, for those who have been around, I'm shocked we're still functioning. I can remember when I was in the Navy and we were talking about, the budget, for the national budget is $100 million in debt. We do that almost every day now. And it was such a huge thing back then. I mean, elections were being fought and debated over hundreds of millions of debt. And now we're $20 trillion in debt. And people were talking back then, this is the destruction of the country, the destruction of our financial system. And we push this thing way, way, way up the hill. And I'm astounded every day that it hasn't come. But if it happens while we're still alive, before the rapture of the church, how can it be? God is promising us, because we love wisdom, right? We believe in the wisdom of God. We want it to rule our life. And it says here, whoever listens will dwell with me, will dwell safely. Is that true? It's true, spiritually. I mean, it's true in the sense that things will go down around us, but we're going to have an inner peace. It is well with my soul, won't we? It's okay, because this is not my hope. I was talking to somebody last night, witnessing to him. What is your hope? This is a very good question to ask people. What is your hope? And, they might talk about the hope in this world, but get them to the point is, what is your hope when you die? And see, we have, the Bible teaches, 1 Peter teaches, we have a living hope. See, there is nothing that can happen to us that takes away our peace if we keep our head on the end game, which is we're going to die and spend eternity with the God who created the heavens and the earth. And if we keep that in mind, then I am going to dwell safely. I will be secure. Because what is my security in? Is my security in the ability to go to the ATM machine and get some bucks out? That's not my security. Is the security in the fact that there aren't marauding bands of lawlessness going down the street because the grocery stores are shut down, the economy's shut down, and people are going to go like they are in Venezuela today? I mean, if you think that, oh, no, it couldn't really happen here. Venezuela, which used to be the richest country in South America with all their oil wealth, and look at them today. Look at the news on Venezuela, which is being kept out of the major networks. And you know why the major networks aren't doing it is because it is... If the network news people's idealism of how they think this country should be ruled, that idealism is what Venezuela did. And they can't even see, well, our ideas lead to collapse and destruction and misery of the people. They can't handle that because they're under the sway of the wicked one. So they watch it. By logic, they should say, I need to repent and turn to the wisdom of God and not have these ideas that I do through my socialist communist mindset, but they don't. And it's happening. And Venezuela is just they're a sign of what is going to happen to this entire world. And there's marauding bands of people just stealing to survive. But I'll be secure if it happens, because my security is in Jesus. And it's going to take great wisdom to know how to respond as husbands and fathers and grandfathers and things during the times of peril that could come before the rapture of the church comes. Because do you think there's any Christians in Venezuela? Probably. Do you think that maybe some of them were thinking the rapture was going to take them out of trouble? Could have been. Could have been some that I thought we were going to get raptured before anything bad happened. Same thing could be the case for us. Bad things could happen before the rapture comes. But I don't have to even fear evil, because when we fear God and we come to a humble saving relationship with Him, we don't have to fear evil, because the true evil is to die apart from God, to die without salvation, to die without having a relationship with the God who created us. And so really, if we're really deep in our faith and our love for Jesus and the hope that we have, we should be able to walk without fear. We can walk with preparation in our heart. We can walk with trying the best we can to discern where things are going and to be able to take care of our families in such a scenario. But I don't have to be in fear that grips me at night and terrifies me. Chapter 2, my son, verse 1, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding, yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand and fear the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So there's a lot of ifs there, aren't there? And it's kind of like, if, then. So let's just run these through. Look at it nationally, our culture. Look at it in your own family. Look at it in your own life. Look at it in your children's life. Look at it in your grandchildren's life. And let's go through the list. That if you receive God's word. Is our culture receiving God's word? No. Our culture, if it had its way, would remove all aspects of the teaching of God's word. I can't remember a time, Wendy and I don't have cable or satellite TV or whatever. There's very little that we can stomach watching. But even in the stuff that we can stomach watching, which means it's on the higher end of quality, I can't remember a time where God is glorified and His word is glorified and lifted up. Can you? Can you think of a show that just really, that comes over networks that glorifies the Word of God? No. Can it be in our schools? Is it allowed in our schools? No. Is it allowed in the college campuses? I mean, there's already trying to shut down any Bible. In college campuses now, there's an attack about Bible clubs and stuff that are happening on the campus. So then that would mean if we're not doing that, then you will understand, fear the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. If people don't want to receive God's word, they're not going to have a fear of the Lord. They're not going to find the knowledge of God. They're not going to have life. That treasure God's commands. Did we as a country ever treasure God's commands? It used to be up on every school in the country, had the Ten Commandments in the classrooms. We used to treasure His commands. Do we now? No. In fact, Ray Comfort years ago, he went around and he says, name me 10 different beers. And everybody can bam, 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 bam. Name me 10 different bands. Bam, 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 bam. How many 10 commandments can you give me? it's just a blank. And I tried it myself. I tried just going out and asking people different questions and say, how many of the 10 commandments can you list off? There is a famine in the land of God for just 10 of the 613 whatever commandments that are in the Bible. It's gone. Incline your ear. Incline our ears to what? To the truth instead of the lie. How much is that happening? How many people want to listen to what does God's word, the truth, have to say? Compared to all the lies that are floating around in the media of today. Apply our heart. I want to apply my heart to the potter's hands, God being the potter, we're being the clay. He's changing my heart. How many people want to apply their heart to the potter instead of the devil? How many people cry out for discernment? God, we need, in a time of great deception where there's lies all over the place and in the media and everything else that's going on, God, give me discernment to know your truth and to stick with the truth. People don't want discernment. Lift up your voice. Well, how do we lift up our voice? To do what? To proclaim the truth of God's word. To seek wisdom of God like it's silver. You know how I've encouraged to read through the Bible, and I'm so glad that even as a pastor of not doing through the Bible for years and realizing I study a lot, but I don't think I get through the whole thing, and to really treat it like it's more important than whatever. And what I did to get into the habit of it is I like to check news and do this thing, and at first I say I can't do that until I treasure God's word more than anything else I treasure. So find out what it is. I like to play solitaire. I like to do this. I like to read the newspaper. I like to watch check some internet news sites. Whatever it is, what it's saying here is that we seek the word of God like we would seek after silver, hidden treasures. So whatever it is that's keeping you from a daily diet of the word of God, just say no. This has to be like seeking silver, seeking gold, because it will affect you. Reading daily God's word, going through it, it's going to affect your deep soul with the wisdom of God. And you will increase in your fear of the Lord, the knowledge of God. So, is this our society? I mean, does our society seek these things? No. Are Christian families in America really, really making this important with all the distractions of homework and social media and TV watching and gaming and all this stuff? Is it even within the Christian home an emphasis to treat the Word of God and His law and His wisdom like silver and gold? I'm seeing very little of it. And therefore we can predict. Because the proverb is telling me, if it's like silver and gold, you'll gain the wisdom of God. Chapter 2, verse 4, again, if you seek her as silver, search for her as from hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth, the Word of God. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the path of justice and preserves the way of His saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity, and a good path. That when wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things. So you get filled with this knowledge of the Word of God and let the Holy Spirit make it real in your heart. And then when the perverse person comes along, God is going to protect you by the fact that you disdain it. You're going to have a rejection, a repulsion of what's evil. And I've seen it in my own life. I've been a Christian for 43 years now. And I look back at some of the things I used to watch on TV, and I go, today, there's certain things that come on that it's just like, I can't even take it. And it just goes off because the more the Word of God gets into us, then the more the Word of God delivers us from the way of evil, from the men who speaks perverse things. And you don't even want to listen to it. You won't listen to the guy that's trying to get you to rip people off, to lie about this, to lie about that. You know, tell the people in jail you need to turn away from your friends that are trying to, so-called friends that are trying to get you in drugs and alcohol and stealing and destroying your life. If you get filled with the wisdom of God, you're going to sit there, no. I'm not going to, wisdom of God through salvation in Jesus Christ being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to say, no, I'm not parting with you anymore. From those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. You know, God's wisdom will save us from those who leave the paths of uprightness and walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perversity of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and who are devious in their paths. Let's turn to 1 Peter 4:1. And this is where Peter is talking about what happens to the soul who turns to Jesus as a Savior and is delivered from the life of sin. And how it interacts with those who were their buddies in the past. See, in the New Covenant, not only do we gain wisdom by reading God's Word in our minds, but it comes into our soul, into the Holy Spirit fills us with this changed life and changes our desires. In 1 Peter 4:1, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. In other words, if every time our flesh is being tempted to sin, and I suffer in it by saying, no, you don't get your wish. Because our flesh does want to get its wish, right? And it's tough to kill our flesh at times. You know, to just, no, I'm not going to go where you want me to go. And if we completely suffered in the flesh by killing it every single time, we're done with sin. So we're all still struggling, right? Against the flesh, but that's the truth. If we suffered in the flesh, we'd cease from sin. Arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. I want to die to the flesh because I'm supposed to be living for Jesus. I don't want to live any more of my life serving the things of the flesh that are a lack of wisdom, that destroy my life and send me into darkness and cause me to waste what God has given me, which is a regenerated soul to have life. 4, verse 3, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lusts, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. You know, haven't we all spent enough in that? Used to get drunk. Don't want to do that anymore. Spent enough time in that. In fact, it's too bad I spent any time in that. Used to do this, used to do that. I've spent enough time in rebellion against God. Now I'm under new management. In regard to these, they, your former, quote, buddies that are in the world that Proverbs is talking about, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. Your buddies all of a sudden hate you because now you're a light. Now you're a light saying, I'm under new management, I'm serving Jesus, and now that shines on them. You know, what does that mean we're doing? That means you're walking in darkness and you're walking in the lust of the flesh and you're going to die and go to hell. And they don't want to hear that. They don't want to even think that. Even if you don't say it, they're thinking that's what you're saying. But you're not saying it. Who said it? God said it. The Holy Spirit is saying it through you. It's because it's the truth. The people that want to live for darkness are going to go to darkness. Jesus says where there's darkness and there's wailing and gnashing of teeth forever. And so they speak evil of you. But verse 5, they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. On judgment day, they'll stand before there and they'll say, but. And Jesus is going to say, you know what? I sent you servants and you that used to be your friends. And you saw them get set free by the power of the Holy Spirit to turn their life from darkness to light. And you hated them. You hated them because they wouldn't party with you anymore. And now they have everlasting life and you get darkness. You get death and destruction. And God's going to know how to perfectly mete out that justice in the last days. So again, we'll kind of conclude here, back to Chapter 2, verse 10. And by the way, 2 Timothy 2:19 says, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity, because that's what wisdom is calling us to do. When we come to Jesus, if I'm going to name that Jesus Christ has set me free from sin and death, then I want to be set free from the iniquity of the world by just dying to the flesh. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you. Understanding will keep you, going to verse 16, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. And, it goes on from there that we'll pick it up next week. But this is one of the strongest warnings that we'll see emphasized throughout Proverbs. And it's, if parents of Christian families in America could instill one thing, especially in their girls, here's the girl-guy thing. Girls, Katy Perry is not your role model. Katy Perry, who was the one that was at the concert in England? What's her name again? Ariana Grande, not your role model. Taylor Swift, no. Anyway, any of the women that are the international superstars that draw hundreds of thousands of fans, millions of fans, are not your role model. Because what are they? They're the immoral women. And tragically, deceived by Satan, and some of them, and I think I mentioned Ariana last week, but she's flat out said she's given her soul to Satan. In one of the quotes that somebody sent me last week, it's like how tragic they've been deceived to get their glory and their stardom in exchange for their soul. And to just explain it to kids, grandkids, you can't have posters on the wall. You can't be sitting there listening to their music and listening to the horrible lyrics that somebody else sent me, one of the horrible lyrics of the songs, glorifying fornication, et cetera, et cetera. And parents that just say, oh, they're popular. Go ahead and listen to their music. All the young girls like her because she was on Nickelodeon's. And had this, all the kids liked her when she was, isn't the devil smart? You get Nickelodeon's Family Channel, babysit my kids because I'm going to go over here and game or party or whatever else they're doing. And so then the kids go, oh yeah, she's somebody. And then morphs them when they become semi-adultish into floozies and immoral in their songs and everything, and the kids are plugged into them because the parents are going, oh yeah, Ariana, she was a cute little girl on Nickelodeon's, and then all of a sudden they're just getting programmed, and all of a sudden we've created an entire global culture of immoral women. And for us guys, we need to be telling our boys, you save your eyes for the woman that's going to be your wife, and you don't let anything ever deviate from that. It doesn't matter what people are trying to show you at school and what the guys are doing and trying to go after the lusts of the flesh through the pornography. You have got to guard your eye, or you also are being led away by the immoral women. Because who's behind those pictures? The immoral women. They want to sell their bodies to all the men that they can. And we're lacking wisdom and destroying the very fabric of God-fearing culture, and it's all over the world. The wisdom of God would spare our children if we obey. The wisdom of God will spare our own lives if we obey what the Proverbs is saying. May God help us to listen to wisdom. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And God, when we really realize that everything that you say in your word, we know to be true. Because our culture is violating all of these things. They're going their own wicked way, and we see destruction on the horizon. And the undiscerning, the ones that have been deceived into the darkness, don't even see the calamity to their own lives and to the lives of those that are around us, to the nations, to the world. And yet, God, with your word, we can discern and see, because your word is like precious, and precious as silver and gold to us. And God, we just thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear. And we pray that you would help us to try and rescue those who have been deceived into the lie, to their own destruction, Lord. Help us to be a light. Help us to not walk into the things of the flesh, as Peter said, to be set free, to not give our lives over to the things that would distract us from the mission you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus,
you're the sweetest name of all.
Jesus,
you always hear me when I call. Jesus,
you pick me up each time I fall. You're the sweetest name of all. Jesus,
how I love to praise your name.
Jesus,
you're still the first, the last, the same. Oh, Jesus,
you died and took away my shame.
You're the sweetest name of all.
Jesus,
you're the soon and coming King.
Jesus,
we need the love that you can bring. Oh, Jesus, we lift our voices up and sing. You're the sweetest name of all. Jesus, how I love to praise your name. Jesus, you're still the first, the last, the same. Oh, Jesus, you died and took away my shame. You're the sweetest name of all. You're the sweetest name of all.
Because his name means God's salvation. And there's nothing sweeter than being saved from this wicked and adulterous generation. And we're going to go home and he's going to safely deliver us however we get there. God bless you, keep you in his care until we can fellowship again.